Welcome to the Agents of Data podcast. In this episode, we dig into semantics. What is a semantic layer and what does it do? What are the challenges of implementing semantic layers? And where does agentic AI fit into the picture? We're joined by Frank Weigel, Chief of Product at Matillion, to dig into how we can avoid stale data, the battleground for ownership, and the shift in human roles. As ever, share your thoughts on Matillion's LinkedIn, Instagram, and Reddit. So in a previous episode, we spoke about MCP, A2A, and semantic layers. Today, we're going to double-click into the semantic layer. I'm joined by our Chief of AI, Julian, and Frank, our CPO. Let's get to it. So Frank, can you start off by telling me what is a semantic layer?
Sure. It's actually, I think, an interesting problem, and it's one that I think a lot of people in the agentic space are going to need to be familiar with. So there's a fundamental issue when it comes to LLMs and business problems, which is that ultimately the user, they're going to talk in natural language and explain a problem like they would to one of their colleagues. Now, when we talk about something, we use a lot of terms that are specific to our company, and you guys all understand what it means because we all work at the same place. And so that same problem exists for any agentic AI, that it needs to actually understand what people are talking about at a very high level of specificity, because you typically ask them to access data, access a system, do a specific task, do a calculation. And so therefore, there's kind of like two levels to what we call a semantic layer. One, the higher level, is about what I just talked about, which is really the mapping certain language terms to a more specific meaning for a company. So, you know, in accounting, this could be when somebody asks for, like, you know, I want the revenue numbers, a specific company will know how revenue is calculated for them. You know, you have this maybe in the BI system today. If they talk about one of their products, right, the system needs to understand, oh, this is one of my products. So when you ask about, you know, what revenue do I have for my magical widget A, right, it needs to know that magical widget A is the name of one of my products. Things like this. So you have that level of semantic layer, which is about understanding a lot of the business language and then going often to definitions. Now, for systems like what we are building when it comes to data, you then have an additional problem, which is that generally language is always very imprecise when it comes to selecting something specific in data. And so, you know, in the case, you know, what we are doing with data, let's say you're asking a human or a virtual agent, doesn't actually matter, you know, do something with products. And then we look at a data warehouse and there might be 10 product tables in there. And the first problem is, well, which of those were you actually talking about? Which one did you want me to use?
Which your 8 different revenue columns do you need once you've got to it, that sort of.
Exactly. And so, a human or a agentic AI need to know how to pick it. And so you do this by ultimately providing more metadata, more technical data about what's stored in a table and what does it mean, right? So for example, it could be, oh, this product or this revenue table is for this subsidiary in, you know, or this was this business unit that was an acquisition. So it's still kept in a separate like accounting system, right? And, oh, this product table is one Julian created as a copy because he was playing around and trying some things out. So he created a copy. So don't ever use that one. And of course, this isn't just at the table level. It really goes down all the way to individual columns in a database, in our case, about understanding this. And of course, in other domains, you know, it might not be about understanding things in a data. It might be about things in a form. It might be about images, right? And how are you going to associate certain business meaning with images? So this kind of concept of a semantic layer of basically adding an additional depth of understanding that's not implicit in the thing itself, so that agentic AI can reason about it, use it better, and ultimately do what, you know, a human would do with it.
In our use case, I look at it the same, that we're providing an agentic data engineer, a data engineering system. We need to give it the same notes you would a new data engineer joining the team, to say, you know, the kind of intro you'd give, even if it's a short 5 minute or half hour thing, like, this schema is the bronze layer, this is the silver, this is the gold. Mm. People tend to prefix things with their initials as their personal tables. Mm. Just the simple intro bullet points, and how do you feed that into the system to make sure that your agent is able to take advantage of that, or that you can teach it, just like onboarding a new member of the team.
So where do you think people actually, right now in the world we live in, store this information at present? Like, what sort of places can you get this?
So, in the heads, the old and grey-haired members of the team who've been there a few years, and some people remember this with pointers, which are go and ask Bob, or others are, and actually just understanding in the serious meeting and knowing who's working with the particular systems, and then knowing who to ask is a valuable piece of information. Mm-hmm. How we support agents with that, yeah, maybe one day, yeah, we would drive. Sometimes it's wikis. Sometimes they were even written this calendar, updated this calendar year. Often it was a project somebody diligently did 2 or 3 years ago, and it's the best you've got because no one's touched it since.
I think, a really interesting point, which is, this isn't really a new problem, right? This problem, just like Julian described, exists with humans if you take AI out.
Yeah.
You had already various attempts at it just for the humans to solve it, right? Like, because knowing, like, Bob is the person you need to talk to, works great, and Bob is amazing. But the problem is, like, what if Bob is ill, of course, you know, something like this. So people started to try and collect it. And I think you have got the unstructured ones, right? Like you say, like, there's often like an onboarding document every new person reads. Mm-hmm. For data, there is the very structured approach, like people start to build data catalogs, master data management, though, of course, I don't think those are typically all that great and up to date, right? Which is the whole other angle then of that problem.
Yeah, the stuff becomes the information becoming stale, but sometimes stale information is better than none. That's the major factor there. And then you've got obviously the automatically captured metadata that sits within the database structure. You've got anything we collect around lineage, but often again, how do you use that in a systematic way? All sorts of different challenges. And in some ways, we have an advantage that this is an LLM-based problem, because collating multiple sources in different, varying and even inconsistent formats is actually quite a space that LLMs accept. I can give you a chunk of a table and a sample of some records and some free text notes, bundle them all together and say, okay, can you try and make sense of this?
Yeah. But just from this conversation, like, it's all good for humans. You know, I can talk to Bob. Bob can talk to me. I know Bob has that information in his head. I go and get it. And then I work on a problem. For AI agents, like, as we've just been talking about, like, this stuff's all over the place. I'm sure there are businesses out there that have a semantic layer that they've built and they've spent loads of time and it's just perfect. But the reality is that most businesses don't have that. And agentic AI only knows what it can see. So how do we solve that problem? Like, how do we somehow centralize all this information so that it is available to our AI agents that work on our problems?
Well, we ask them to build us one.
yeah.
But I think it might be interesting to talk a little bit about, right, like, how are we currently looking to solve this? Because it's indeed a problem we are very much kind of working on right now.
How do you populate that layer? How do you handle? I think one of the interesting problems is, how do you handle the aging of the information? I think that's probably and conveying the relative recency is, in what circumstances do you want the information to be forgotten? Is another challenge. Yeah.
I think you have to, obviously, first you've got to start with the basics. You get the metadata information. If we talk about, I mean, an easy environment for this is a data warehouse like Snowflake. You've got column information, you've got table information, you've got even the descriptive attributes of those tables, what type they are. That can all feed into the model, and agents can see that. They can start to reason about exactly, you know, and start to assume what columns might go where and what tables can be joined to which tables. But, you know, assumptions are a bad thing. And if an agent assumes early on incorrectly, goes down the wrong path, you're in trouble. So then you've got to think about, how do you start to augment all that information together, save it somewhere? Is that, you know, another database or another metadata layer that you store, or a data catalog? Or is that something more like a graph database that can track all of the relationships between things? I know we've been looking at that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm quite a fan of the graph database for this problem, because we have a lot of stuff that has connections, but doesn't fall into neat categorical structures. And if we try and force it into them, we're going to struggle and end up making compromises all over the place.
So maybe if people haven't thought about that problem much, right? So I think part of what we're discovering is that, you know, indeed there's lots of existing sources of metadata, especially for the metadata. It's very rich in the data world, at least. But then if you just all read it together, you can start storing it whatever database. But I think, Julian, as you referred to, sometimes for us, right, we want to understand more than just the relationship, like, you know, is A or is child of, like, we want to actually ideally kind of, you know, be able to also walk semantic ones, like, you know, this is similar to this one, or it's
understanding the relationship. Like, if I'm looking at sales database, I'm looking at my extracts from Salesforce, I need to understand an account may have come from an opportunity, that may have been a lead which had a contact in its past, and I still need to associate those contacts to the account because I need to know who to call up to see how my customer's doing. Yeah. And all of that information is absolutely gold dust to anyone who's trying to build that report.
And some of them might not even be certain relationships, right? Yeah. We think this might refer to something, or we have some knowledge about a table, but, you know, some of the column information has changed because what was in the data catalog isn't really the latest anymore. Yeah. So I think being able to be like, we think this is about the same table, those kinds of relationships, and being able to walk them, I think will be easy in a graph database.
That schema drift or change happens more often than people think. The number of times we've seen data pipelines fail because an optional column or configurable column in some SaaS system has gone away. We're no longer tracking that category on the customer. So the column was deleted and suddenly the pipeline's not able to talk to it. And of course, the semantic layer maybe needs to keep on top of that and understand that it's not valid.
So it's a very complicated problem, right? But it means that you ultimately need something, watching the data sources, watching the data warehouse, the tables, learning from what's changing and updating that model over time, ideally close to real time as possible, so that when you give your agent the next problem, you can go and solve it. I feel like semantic layers, there's always been a need for them, but as we've kind of spoke about there, it's always in someone's head or someone knows to look for it. So talking about more closely with an agentic system, why doesn't it, and we'll go to you here, Julian, why does an agentic system need a semantic layer? Why are they suddenly becoming the cool thing that everyone needs to have?
Well, the information, certainly that kind of information, is very valuable to informing some of the activities that your agentic system may need to do, but not necessarily all. Let's say, again, in our use case, I'm asking Maya to edit an existing pipeline and commit the pipeline into the repo. That's not a use case where it needs a semantic layer. But if I'm asking it to build a new sales report or a new customer view, it absolutely needs to be able to find out, okay, what tables are there? And they may be, that's fine. In a toy example, in my nice dev database where I've only got 20 tables, where there's 200 or 2,000, that becomes a challenge. And the agentic system fits in neatly. If we give them a tool to say, okay, go query the data catalog, go query the semantic information, go query the notes. The alternative is I'm passing those notes into the whole set of documentation in with every prompt, which slows it down, gets very costly, and also just provides noise. So we need to provide some mechanism by which you can search and find the relevant information from that, rather than asking the LLM to read every piece of documentation on every corner of our landscape. And that's where the things like the graph database views come in, which is like, okay, well, how do I search and how do I get the relevant concepts back?
I think one thing that I find really interesting is, because, as we said, this is very closely, at least at the metadata level, it's very closely related to data catalogs. And as we were kind of, I think, pointing out, those are rarely truly well-maintained and up-to-date and authoritative. But I think with LLMs, we do have one advantage, because they can cope with data that's kind of right, and it's better than nothing, and it will more likely let it make right choices, or if the additional additional columns were added to the schema, it can typically, I think, cope with that like much better than traditional systems. So for me, that's going to be one reason why I think where everything has failed in the past to try and build authoritative master data catalogs. I think our, or the modern kind of semantic layer for LLMs, I think will end up being much better, not because it's a complete accurate catalog necessarily, but because the LLM can deal with some uncertainty and some conflicting things. It can deal with the unstructured data.
Yeah.
And I think for us,
it's also good making use of that catalog more often. And a data quality I've always found is directly related to how much downstream activity is on that data, because people will go back and say, I can trace an error to this, I will challenge mm-hmm. it. There's reasons to want to update it because it's being heavily used. It's like if I've got a database of shipping data and the parcel goes to the wrong place, if that's wrong, you can bet that's going to be challenged. Or a database of sales figures that relates to somebody's bonus, that data is going to be the cleanest in your data warehouse. But if it's notes on what marketing events the person attended, the thing attended, and it's not going to, no downstream process breaks, that data could be messy and no one's really paying attention to it because it's not being used. So the LLM using it gives the folks related to the catalog an incentive to get it clean. And give us a reason to start paying attention to it.
I'm kind of a believer in, and over time, this, and you know, it's happening with Maya now, but the responsibility of the people who are currently spending most of their time, you know, building data pipelines or building a pipeline of some kind that relies on this information will slowly shift over time more to the left and the right. One, validating the output of those pipelines, but also maintaining and looking after the catalogs and the semantic layer, because I think we're going to see more and more pipelines created and more information automatically being generated and pushed into these semantic models.
And we've seen that process in how people job shift and focus shift exactly in other Gen AI enabled work use cases, like we've seen with support case answering, where first of all because the incident management level, the incident response, more of that is being automated, especially if the documentation is good, people have got more time to look at the knowledge management layer. But also that knowledge management layer is now valuable not just to the human user but to the LLM. Yeah. And we've seen how good documentation really affects it. We saw a case, one support case, where we got it kicked back to say model gave the wrong answer. We review it. We go and read the article that had been fed through in the RAG. And oh, look, two people agree with the LLM, two people disagree with the LLM. Root cause was the article was ambiguous itself. And we're going to see the same thing, I think, with the semantic layer, which is you spend less time building the pipeline, more time. Okay, have I got my documentation up to date? Am I providing accurate information?
And I think it's also, this is maybe one of these areas where, you know, AI just isn't magic, right? Sometimes people think like, great, the agentic AI has got to like do everything and do it so much better than any person but I think what's often overlooked is that aspect, right? That yes, there's some amazing capabilities the LLMs have, but it still needs the context, right? Context really, I think we continuously to find always is king, and is the difference between getting great answers out and getting less reliable answers out. And so just like, you know, you used to train your apprentice and like as part of that did a lot of knowledge transfer in the end to provide that context, I think that will shift, as you suggest, to now spending time on providing that knowledge in a form that the LLM and humans can take advantage of.
It's a good mental model to use, actually. To think of the LLMs as being like a new employee coming in, a junior employee, similar. They're bright, they're enthusiastic, they've got an infinite work ethic, but they're very dependent on you giving them the right instructions and the right contextual information to do their job right.
I think it's okay that a real human being working on a problem doesn't get it right first time every time. It's going to be the same with our AI agents and whatever tool we use. You're going to do a load of things with them, build some data pipelines, whatever you're doing, and then you're going to go and check the outputs and you're going to be like, yeah, well, that looks good. That one's not quite right. And maybe that the root cause of that was actually that the semantic layer was wrong. So what you're going to do there is probably revert that, go back, change the semantic layer, update the information, and then set it off again.
It also gives me some opportunities in the validation space, which is once I've built my pipeline or built my chunk of code or similar, to be able to say, okay, let's evaluate this semantically. I think I have built something that gives me this report. Think of the number of times in a management or an auditing role where we go, okay, we think this dashboard is showing us these figures. And then when you really clarify that, okay, well, here are the little conditions, here's the bit, oh, it's excluding. Our definition of paying customers is this, that sort of...
I think we so far talked a lot about kind of that I think what we would call more technical metadata, which is truly like in the guts of like, what does this field in the database mean? Or where can I find this kind of data? You're now talking about those kind of higher level semantics.
That gets stuck and often that's the cause. Or those of us in the data analytics space have numerous times had somebody going, your dashboard doesn't agree with their dashboard. And you go, or you have to go off and go like, okay, did we get it wrong? Is there a mistake? Or actually 90% of the time, this is actually apples to oranges comparison, because there's a few quite subtle differences about what's being counted, what dates are used, what assumptions go into it. And that's kind of buried somewhere either in the data engineering code or in the dashboard. And that actually logging where those business decisions have made or those definitions to try and mean that the next time somebody else builds it, with or without an AI tool, let's hope they use the same definitions. Well, a semantic layer and a Gen AI assistant actually can help drive that and help you capture that tribal knowledge rather than us end up with, once again, two inconsistent clashing sets of numbers.
So where are we going to get it from? Where do you see that data?
That is where I think you start to get the business ontology view, the stuff that needs to be sat alongside the, okay, here's what's in this column.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a whole lot of stuff that needs to be recorded. And again, it's a consistent structure, but it's almost a log of the decisions made or the assumptions made. And we start to track that. Once again, this is where I see some opportunities for the graph technologies because, okay, this decision has been made about this report that uses these three things, which relate to these three entities. I need to track that relationship. So when somebody starts to query customer, I can make my LM aware to say, okay, well, actually, there's been a business decision made about our definition of what is a paying customer or what is a churn customer.
And that kind of stuff, that I guess we did focus a little bit on the lower level databases stuff, but that stuff's likely to just be in a Confluence space somewhere, or maybe several,
or a Wikipedia or dashboard. Literally,
could even be Jira tickets, right? Yeah, could be anywhere if it's an actions log.
Actually, I think BI dashboards, because right, for a lot of the BI tools, you end up building basically the underlying model, and then in the report you can, I think, often deduce, like, because literally we'll have the calculation with the name, and being able to extract that I think certainly for us, like, something
this reminding me of earlier in my career, turning out dashboards and putting the notes into the dashboard in a way that it wasn't possible to crop and copy paste the chart without taking the notes with it. So you couldn't get it into some exec presentation without the caveats. And it's, how does that stick to the data in some way? Or how do we keep them close together?
So what do you guys think about over time? Do you think customers or people will, customers for us and then generally out there in the industry, do you think people will push to try and centralize this semantic layer in a single place? Or do you think we'll end up still in a scattered environment where they have a BI tool with its semantic layer, an ETL tool with its semantic layer, and that sort of stuff?
I suspect it's, correct me if you disagree, Frank, but I think it's going to forever be fragmented. There's forever going to be this, that initiative, this, that. There's always going to be a reason why this week we want it all here, but next week we're over there is a more attractive place to put it.
It's actually, I think, a really interesting question, because given how important semantics are for agents working well, I actually think it might become a bit of a battleground almost, right? Because whoever owns that definition, understanding, who owns the best layer that understands most about that business, will be able to have the best working agents. So it's going to be interesting whether, you know, is each kind of like tool or agentic system trying to, you know, build up its big base? Is there going to be a drive from customers to say, no, we need an open standard and everything about it centralized? So, of course, then with an open or with a centralized system that tries to serve lots and lots of different processes, we just talked about the graph, the knowledge graph you're building, that could become so complicated. Then are we just back to the world of, well, there's a data catalog that in theory is amazing, but it's never actually used.
I mean, is it even going to become a little bit of a political battleground of who wants to own the definitions? I would like to own the definition of what we consider a revenue generated customer. Why? Because it relates to actually my compensation or my target, my KPIs or similar, that kind of.
That is true. Though for those things, I feel there might be already processes because for like for anything financial and accounting, there's probably already some.
But that's kind of going to have to be like, how does that central owner get the ability to audit or visibility to those, that logic?
Actually, that's a whole other. We haven't talked yet about. We have talked, I think, about it very abstractly in how agents will use it. Should we talk a bit about that last, the visibility? Because I think we need to make sure that people can actually see what's in it and go like, oh, that's wrong. Let me fix it. Have you thought much about how we would do that in product?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it does depend on the ownership a little bit. But at the end of the day, if you've got this, if it's a graph, do you give the user some nice UI where they can go in, look at the graph, traverse the graph, look at like, oh, this table and this table and this is what it means and add those things in. I think you would need that, right? Yeah. Whether it's flat or a graph. But also, I think giving the users the ability and the tools, especially given now LLMs and how good they are at taking unstructured data and feeding that in to update the model, is also giving them an interface to be able to pass in their unstructured information and push that into the catalog as well.
The kind of transaction history on the conversation history of the interactions with the LLM that's taken this as an, and the input becoming a valuable artifact in its own right. It's the ability to, once again, when we get the exec dashboard discussion about, okay, we want to order these numbers because these things are inconsistent or similar, the most valuable, that process tends to involve kind of tracking your way back through to, right, or who made the decision about we'd record it this way. And that's probably in some meeting minutes if you're lucky or in an audit call. And we've actually got, we can capture that process. We can capture the assumption that went in, even if it was the LLM making the assumption, say, well, I've got this from the notes that said, here's the revenue field I should be using. So I put that field in and that was my, and here's my other bit of business logic about
explainability
of where the dashboard came from. And of course you can chat with the LLM to say, go back through your history. Tell me why, it's just like querying the analyst. Like, why does it report like that? Well, because you told me to, kind of. I said, I thought you should use this column, says my LLM, but you insisted we use that one. When our agent starts saying, I told you so, because I know we're doing well.
You talked about one thing there, which is, so you talked about the unstructured documents and then putting it in some sort of, I guess, structured, I mean, even if it's a graph, it still is like things that can be walked. Have either of you thought about how we could do that? It doesn't seem straightforward.
I mean, there are graph. I mean, everything there in a graph situation, you have nodes and edges. You have the root, and you have the nodes being that the facts or the details can have attributes of their own type of thing. So they could have tags that we could filter on. You know, okay, this relates to a table. This relates to a column. This relates to a decision. Those sort of pieces. You could then, it allows you also to put date stamps on them and forgetting or memory or recency is an important part. Then you have the edges, and really actually the edges can be, you could draw this in a simple tabular structure because I've got start node, end node, the edge that connects them. And within that edge, I've got the, probably a definition about what the relationship is. So if I was building one off a bunch of documentation, I might have, or a bunch of HR pieces, I might have node one is Julian, node two is Matillion. The edge relationship is works for or is employer of sort of thing. And that's, you might also have some degree of like depth of that relationship, like occurs in multiple places.
Yeah.
So but the key thing really there is it's fairly simple facts. It's just the way you join them together that's complex. Yeah. And we want to be able to filter them based on the types of fact.
But isn't there the figuring out what's like, if I read if I have like a wiki or a doc and it talks about some table, isn't it still then going to be really hard for us to figure out, but which table is it actually talking about? Just like, you know, there might be multiple warehouses. There might be, it might actually not be in the warehouse, might talk about another source. So have we thought about how to kind of match that?
I suspect it's, you can't just throw an LLM, go give me the structure and then feed that directly into a graph or a data. I think part of it's going to be like, if the information just isn't there, can the model come back, or you know, do you converse with another agent on this, and does that model come back with, I can see there's these tables, I can see that they maybe are relate to these tables in the data warehouse, which ones are they? So it's still a human, somewhat human orchestrated approach, but it's doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
It's one of the concepts that, you know, we've been some of our other work, we've been chatting with some of the folks at Manchester University, and they've given us some interesting ideas to be working with. But one of the interesting spaces there was inferring what entities should exist or are logically likely to exist in a system like this, and then look at the gaps. Look at that. Okay, well, I can see you. Again, I see I've got accounts, I've got customers, I've probably got products they're buying, those sort of things. I've worked and I look at my existing thing I've captured. Okay, I've got the account, I've got the customer, but I don't even have a product details table. That gap is actually a useful piece of information to go looking for.
Yeah.
To be able to say, okay, I should be looking for this. I'll look through the table to see if there's anything that looks like a product table, even though it's not been mentioned. Or just go back to the users. They look, there seems to be some data missing. Maybe we've got source missing here.
Yeah. I really liked with work, right? What you proposed, like that you come and actually just ask a human for clarification.
You just at the end of it, this is why, you know, humans are not going anywhere in this process. Our roles and our jobs may change over time, but there's just going to be gaps in what the LLM knows. The context, like you say, context is key. If there's a lack of context, assumptions should never be made, and someone that has knowledge needs to come and
getting the system to the agentic framework to acknowledge its limitations and acknowledge its gaps, I think, is going to be one big
change. Which is really hard to do with LLMs. They hate saying they hate saying no, and they hate saying they don't know something, because that is just not how they fundamentally work.
Yeah. Very human, right?
Yeah.
For those, as I've mentioned before, to others, for you as of a certain age, getting the AI to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave, is our ultimate challenge. But that's, and then also we talk a lot about human to machine and machine to machine or agent to agent type learning, but I see actually machine to human might be an interesting one. So when does the LLM know it needs to slack Bob and ask him a question about what was in that table?
Yes.
That'll be a really interesting one to, and how do we make sure it doesn't bug him too much? But
well, and especially because things keep changing. Right. So far, we, I think, maybe talked more about how does this central semantic layer know kind of what's already out there. But then, of course, I mean, in our case, like a data agent will actually literally create new data because that's the purpose of a data pipeline. So then do you think like what the agent themselves will kind of keep updating with the newly generated to keep growing that?
I think they definitely are. I feel like they can. They're the ones potentially building the pipelines now. So they're the ones that know they've just, potentially joined two tables together to create a new table that now needs its own semantic meaning or extra additional descriptions and metadata on top of. So they can do that. But at a fundamental system level as well, can the platform do that? You know, a more deterministic way of like two things have been joined together. Now I'm going to relate those in a graph maybe somewhere or something like that. Ideally, in most things, you'd still do stuff deterministically, programmatically. But agents can infer so much more if they already have the awareness of your project, the context of the question you ask them. You know, your platform might not know that at runtime, but the agent does. That can help and to facilitate that knowledge.
We're in a space where the agent can test hypotheses in some ways.
What do you mean?
So the agent sees the information semantically. So I think these tables are the right ones. I think this is how they connect. In terms of what we're building, what we're doing, we've given obviously the core function of the agent is to build data transformations. So we could allow it to say, okay, well, take the best get your best case tables, just the same way a human was, try and build a pipeline that joins them together, look at the output. You know, is there any data there at all when you make that join? Even if you do make the join and then you aggregate it or count it up, do you get same levels of volume results as you'd expect? And if not, then it's got to try something different.
And I guess the semantic layer helps, right? Because now, as you said, when I look at the data, I don't just look, is there data? But I can literally try and be like, I expected the answer to be an email address or a postcode or whatever. And I can now look at it and go like, this doesn't look like the right thing, right? And I guess it's true. You need to have the semantic understanding of the source and the question of what you expect
dealing with. Semantic layer is where you might be dealing with some really nasty problems, like that you might have heterogeneity of the data, which is inconsistency of the types of data in the same table, because they've come from different sources, they've been slightly transformed or joined together, or the process changed a couple of years ago about what's going in there. And how do you do that? Well, normally, again, our expert data team has some notes to say, remember that we hijacked this field for this little project, or that we just we flipped over from one source system to another, so some of these columns are not being populated, or they've got different categorical values here. Yeah. And that's, well, you know, our sale amount now includes the sales tax, where previous this system it didn't. Knowing that one's a real gotcha for us. And that's the sort of thing you can include in the semantic layer to say, look for those little ifs and buts in the conditions of how data's processed.
That will be very cool. And I think, again, it's one of the things before LLMs, I think this kind of annotation gets really difficult for like a traditional database engine or something. Could probably, you know, like code some template, but they get schema versions and whatever not.
The half a dozen bullet points of like, always remember these odd little things that happened over time.
This all makes me wonder about one thing, which is, you know, we talked about these magical semantical layers. I think there's an interesting question we talked a little bit earlier. Will there be like one? Will there be one that's company-wide for all agents? Will there be one per product? Will there be one per department? And then who kind of owns it? Any thoughts, Sam? What's your prediction?
It's a tough one. I think if you model this stuff as a graph, then you have an opportunity to form quite complicated relationships between different domains or areas of a business. And I suppose it depends how that business splits up what they do. If they've got teams sharing a lot of the same information that needs a lot of the same semantic data, then it's natural that you'd only want to collect that once, store it once, and share it. If you've got teams that use the same metadata from an underlying database, but in a slightly different context that completely changes the way the agent has to think about that data, then you would want a separate layer and a separate set of kind of meanings about that data for that.
What about I reckon it has to be owned by the people whose business process that topic covers. So that it becomes a natural flow from the way they're doing business, the way they're operating. Every step you move away from the person who's actually doing the process or making a decision based on information, the more likely you are to get inconsistencies and things that then going to lead to, well, semantic errors because of the way it's captured, the way it's being reported, and the way it's being processed doesn't reflect reality. So you've got to have a system that can accommodate. I think you've got to accommodate departmental nodes or domain-specific nodes in terms of at least what gets fed in. Then somehow we manage to bring it together. And where you've got friction, hopefully that maybe becomes a forcing function to make some tough conversations come out about the fact that you've not been reporting consistently against each other all this time.
It's going to be interesting, I think, because I don't think you can expect that each then department builds up their own kind of from scratch, right? But yet figuring out what should be shared and what isn't, actually sounds like a really interesting process.
I'm sure we've seen many times over the years where at the interface between sales and marketing, the definitions of the things being handed over are hotly debated or actually just quietly have differing opinions on.
Can you make the catalog itself an agent, and can you have it talk to like another one? So can they kind of
come to an agreement?
Debate amongst agent. Each other about like what they think should be
shared? There is actually one piece which is a good use for the LLM to process, is to say these two sources of truth, where do they differ? Where are there inconsistencies? And I think that might be the process. But I like the idea of my agent talk to your agent.
Yeah.
They'll hang it out. Nobody really wants to have that discussion for a 3-hour meeting on like what counts as a lead or not.
I can definitely see this crazy world of agents. I mean, agents of data, this podcast is what we're talking about. I can see crazy world of agents talking to agents, A2A specs, MCP servers, things we want to cover in later.
Discussion for another
topic. Look forward to that one.
But yeah, Frank, Julian, thank you so much for coming on Agents of Data. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Agents of Data podcast. The podcast is brought to you by intelligent data integration platform Matillion. To discover agentic data engineering, visit matillion.com/Meyer. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think of everything we discussed over on Matillion's LinkedIn and Instagram.